if it's hard for you to have a regular bedtime because of your circumstances, aim for the same wake up time every day, and that includes weekends and holidays. So if you, let's say, wake up 6 a.m. every single day, and then you add that extra hour or two or even three on a Saturday, you've just given yourself jet lag.
Life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive.
Hey friends, welcome back for another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Bean. Today's episode is right on time and so necessary for so many people. In the busyness of our ever-changing world, we are always on the go. And this includes myself too. So today we are going to slow down for a second to talk about one of my very favorite subjects. I'll start on my loved ones and food. Well, God, myself, my loved ones, and food. My favorite thing in the entire world is sleep. Today we are joined by Dorothy Bradshaw, a sleep specialist and the owner and founder of The 41st Wink. And she's going to be teaching us all the things that have to do with sleep, how sleep is linked to literally everything, and why it's so important. You're definitely going to want to pay attention to today's episode, especially if you or someone you know struggles with sleep and getting adequate rest. Let's just jump right in, not waste any more time. Here is today's episode with Dorothy Bradshaw. Dorothy, welcome to Big Girl Panties Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Alexis. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm good. How are you? Let's dive into that. Like, how are you? How is your life? How is your family?
We're good. Thank you very much. We're good. Life is okay. It's overwhelming. It's busy. I think it's probably for most of us. Lots of changes and goals within like personal family life, career stuff, job, and all of the above and probably more. But you know what? We're healthy and that's what really we're trying to focus on, the health, because that just makes everything else easier when you're healthy. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's great to hear that your family is well and healthy, because the way that the world continues to move and go and everything's so unexpected, that's what the only thing that we can focus on, or the most important thing that we should be focusing on. So here's to
absolutely that. True. Absolutely true. Yes.
Yeah. So we are here to talk about something specific today, but as we begin to dive in, can you please tell me a bit about yourself and what exactly does a sleep specialist do?
Absolutely. Originally, I come from Poland, but I moved to Bermuda now, probably 14 or 15 years ago. I'm a passionate sleeper and I am just fascinated and passionate about sleep and sleep science. I've been involved in this topic and discovering it for probably a couple of decades right now. However, I really, really was diving into that topic specifically for myself from the perspective of adult sleep when I got diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And it turned out that sleep is one of the most important components to my mental health, besides other potential treatments and methodologies. So for over a decade, I was really focusing on that, how this improved the quality of my life, but specifically on that mental health level. And then fast forward a number of years, when I was preparing to get pregnant, I knew that I was in a higher risk of potentially developing a postpartum depression due to my medical history. So I started educating myself further about that sleep in the and the quality of sleep during pregnancy as well as the early postpartum period. And that really brought me into the discovering the fields of sleep medicine, holistic approaches and scientific approaches to sleep. Oh gosh, the science of sleep is just kind of gigantic, and it's big and it's fascinating. And I've just went back to school because I just realized that I want to learn more about sleep for myself. And then as I've learned about the sleep medicine field, I realized that there is a potential to just help other people if I get to learn more about this. Because although I've had knowledge about sleep, I realized over these years of learning about it and reading about it and researching about it in my own capacity that there is just so much more, and people need it. There are so many people that struggle with sleep. In fact, I think that the most recent statistics from the most recent, which is back in March of this year, International World Sleep Day and International Sleep Month and Sleep Science Month, that was back in March, bring, I think, the statistics up to like 40-something percent, over 40% of society is sleep deprived. And that accounts not just to adults, but also children. Wow. So it just really proves that there is a humongous need for that. And so I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but what I'm just trying to say that as I was learning about all of that back at school, those few years ago, I realized we need this in Bermuda.
Yeah.
There is a need. There is a gap, huge gap in the field of medicine and any holistic therapies and prevention and helping people to better the quality of their life with sleep. So that's when I established my company. That's where it kind of grew, the 41st Twink. Mm-hmm. And that's that. So your next question was, what exactly does a sleep specialist do?
Yeah.
You know, Alexis, this is... Sleep specialist is a very broad specialty, and sleep can be approached from a number of different angles. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what I do or how I work as a sleep specialist. With my work, I utilize integrative, holistic, and science-based approaches. I believe that sleep challenges can be solved by looking at from that holistic perspective. So I'm looking at the person that I'm working with, regardless whether it's a younger person or older adult, I look at them as a whole and then slowly dissect them into smaller pieces in order to discover all the puzzles and elements that their poor quality of sleep is influencing, and also all the areas that their poor sleep quality influences. And today we know that besides that the sleep is a primary factor that influences so much in our lives, starting from early childhood development through our health on emotional, mental, and physical levels, mm-hmm. through to achieving personal and professional goals and so much more, yeah. there is just a huge misunderstanding on how it can be utilized to just have a better life, period.
So that seems, first of all, thank you. Thank you for giving us, I guess, like a overall scope or an idea of what exactly a sleep specialist does and how you got yourself into that field. And I, not to say that I love your story, but I'm very interested to know that you got into this field based off of personal experiences. You didn't just say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Be a sleep specialist just out of the blue. That came organically through your life events and how your life is shaped and struggles that you've actually faced yourself. And that's how you becoming passionate about this subject. So thank you for sharing a bit about that. I want to ask more about your company and your methods specifically, but I'll dive into that a little bit later. But my next question It's a bit of a, it's not a silly question, but it's just kind of like an upfront overall question. Why is sleep so important? And why does the lack of sleep affect so many adults today? I know that young people can be included in this as well, but I feel like I always hear about adults and their struggle of getting a good night's rest.
Yeah. Well, actually, these are kind of two questions. So I'm going to try to respond to them as, and they are kind of broad and really big questions. But I'll do my best not to bore the audience and you. So why sleep is important? Until a few years back, sleep has been put on the equal, on the same level as foundation for health as hydration, nutrition, and happiness. Today, we know that in order to be hydrated well, to be mentally stable, to eat well, underneath that is sleep. Sleep is the foundation. It literally is the foundation and primary factor that influences how our body functions. That means that it affects like four broad areas in our lives. For example, our aesthetics. So like our body composition, our attractiveness, our skin, areas such as cognition. So mental focus, the ability to learn, problem solving, long-term cognitive health, i.e. dementia, mood and mental health, as I said earlier about my own personal experience, or even motivation, general health, such as like, if we are sleeping well, we now have data that good quality, meaning length, duration, and how the sleep is structured can significantly reduce mortality risk in general. It reduces risks of diseases, especially such as cancer, such as diabetes or cardiovascular. It improves immunity. And from the point of view of like performance, so like especially from working individuals, mental performance, physical, such as strength and power generation. So we're thinking here, for example, athletes, aerobic capacity, time to fatigue or reduced risk of physical injury, or the it can speed up or slow down, depending on its quality, your ability to recover from the injury. So, and to be honest, there is more to that, but I'm just trying to paint a broad picture of where how sleep can influences your life or can influence your life. So it's very significant.
Do you know why the lack of sleep affects so many adults?
Absolutely. So that was kind of your that second part of that question. Oh, you know that up until probably 1940, 1942, the data says that an average person slept about almost 8 hours per night, like 7.9. Today, literally, the data is from like 2021, 2022. The average person sleeps about 6 hours and 31 minutes. That's a huge decline. And that decline is not linear. It's actually accelerating. As I said earlier, it is estimated that about over 40% of us are sleep deprived at any point in time. And typically, men tend to be more sleep deprived than women, because men kind of have this, they're more prone to something that's called the bedtime procrastination. Women are more to suffer from insomnia. And now this is to kind of very quickly to broad, to paint that picture. But now how, why does that happen? Few things. Societal norms and workplace culture, not sleeping is good. You know, like when we're, even when you asked me, right? How are you, Dorothy? I said, I'm busy, overwhelmed, right? So many of us say, almost the tiredness and not sleeping, we almost wear like a badge of honor. It's not as much, I think, in Bermuda, but in other countries, the US or the UK, you kind of, it's an honor and it's good to be at work for many hours. pulling an over an all-nighter. That's so normal. So it's very prevalent in industrialized countries to just kind of just it's all about performance. Sleep and rest and recovery have been stigmatized as laziness. Mm-hmm. Only recently we're starting to talk a little bit more about the self-care and sleep being part of it. Yeah. Also, the increasing use of electronic devices results in overstimulation, prolonged exposure to blue light. And here is where we, for example, staying up late, whether it's for work or just scrolling through Instagram. And because we have the access to all of these electronic devices, we sleep less. That causes sleep deprivation. And the effects of sleep deprivation are cumulative. So it's kind of like a snowball effect.
Yeah,
it started many years ago, but now it's just rolling forward. And that snowball is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's just, sorry to interrupt, but on top of that is the access to all of the changes in our lifestyle and our lifestyle choices and access to to caffeine or nicotine or alcohol and kind of the cultural norms that we supposed to be doing or it's good to be seen in certain situations. And then that affects further how that sleep quality looks like. And then, again, that's not the end of the story. Because of all of that, we get more sick. We're more sick society than ever. When we're sick, and specifically certain conditions, for example, heart conditions or diabetes or mental health, very broadly painting the picture, they themselves, as well as some of the medications that we are treated with in order to help us with these conditions, often have an adverse reaction to the quality of our sleep. And there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's the big picture. Why are we so sleep deprived?
And it is a full circle conversation. Like this,
yes,
this impacts this, and this is why you're not sleeping. And this in turn affects this, and all the other things.
Yeah.
As well. Wow.
And if you think about it, that let's say, again, I'm going to use my personal story. And for example, some of my clients, those clients that I work as a whole unit, a family. So where they come, and in terms of that, if we as adults don't have good sleep habits, then our children, the younger generations, are learning by observing us. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Then it kind of, we almost take a few steps back because we are raising a sleep deprived society. Because we are sleep deprived, we don't have good sleep habits, and our children watch us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So I hope that parents listening and future parents recognize that. And that's a broader comment, but just for sleep in itself, like your kids pick up on the habits that you, I guess, that you lead with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important point. And then if that's not addressed, then we're just escalating this for generations to come. And yeah, so that's a really important point. Thank you.
You're absolutely right. That's a great summary, Alexis. Yeah.
So you touched on a number of things and why the lack of sleep is affecting so many adults and why sleep is so important. And you did speak specifically about different illnesses that can be, I guess, affected or can be caused by not just lack of sleep, but the connection between certain illnesses and the lack of sleep. What about our mental health? You touched on this specifically a little bit, but how does sleep impact our mental health?
Yeah. So sleep has this very specific build and architecture. It consists of a couple of different sleep stages, and one of them, which is the REM sleep, called the abbreviation stands for rapid eye movement. That's the sleep stage very commonly associated with dreaming, although we're actually dreaming every stage of sleep. This is the one that we most of the time talk about, that that's when we dream. But that's the particular sleep stage that on the greatest level affects mental health. And I could dive here into the science, but that would be a very long podcast. But all I can say as a beautiful summary, as a couple of sleep scientists use towards sleep and that particular sleep stage, that sleep is an overnight therapy. if you sleep well, you function way better the following day. You are in a better mood. When we have a poor night's sleep, do you remember waking up maybe a little bit more cranky, having less patience? It's easier to be irritable. That's exactly what happens. And I don't know if you know, but for example, there is a specific form of within psychology and psychiatry called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. Mm-hmm. It's a very specific therapeutic methodology for insomnia, this particular sleep disorder. And another thing that I wanted to highlight, why sleep or the connection between mental health and sleep, is that in the one of the very first questions and let's say treatments or modalities that psychologists and psychiatrists actually use and utilize and want to observe their patients for when they come to them with their mental health challenges is sleep. They ask them, what are your patterns? How do you feel in the morning? How do you feel throughout the day? Do you need this? Do you need that in order to be mentally sound throughout the day? And it's very important in getting that understanding. And I want to bring one other data point for you and for your listeners here for that to kind of give you a picture of why sleep is so important for mental health. Is every year, once a year, when we lose 1 hour of sleep during daytime daylight savings, there is an increase of suicides.
Wow.
For 3 days after that time change and the loss of that 1 hour of sleep. Now, guess what? 6 months later, when we gain 1 hour of sleep during fallback, there is the exact same percentage and drop of the suicide attempts and succeeded suicides less.
Wow.
Because we've gained back that 1 hour.
Wow. You could stop me right there. Like that's shocking news. And it just highlights again, like the real importance, the true importance of how much we need sleep and how people should take it seriously. So what does the process look like when you are working with like a new client or someone who is having mm-hmm. trouble sleeping?
Okay. It slightly differs when I work with a younger client or an adult client.
Okay.
There are some areas that overlap, but there is some difference. However, I'll just try to paint also a broad picture. I think one of my main focuses is the onboarding process. Mm-hmm. My main goal during the onboarding process is to find out as much as possible about this individual that we're about to work on and their sleep challenges, because of, as mentioned earlier, there are so many elements that influence sleep and can be influenced by it and vice versa that I need to and I want to find out as much as I can. I'm examining factors, including physiological data. We check in. I want to know how are their most recent blood results, mm-hmm. sleep associations, nutrition, lifestyle, sleep environment for adults, also work environment, any underlying medical conditions, emotional and mental stressors. Mm-hmm. Let's say if we're working with a family and there is a young individual involved, how does the family unit looks like? Yeah. All of those areas have a, yes, I do need to know this in order to understand all the puzzles, because with sleep, although we all sleep, sleep is no one size fits all. Yeah. It's very, very individual and personalized. So the goal is to find out as much as possible in order to find out the root cause or root causes of those sleep challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that very first element part is quite complex.
Yeah.
And then if I'm working with younger generations, typically we work for 2 to 3 weeks, and I am quite involved with coming into their environment, to their house. I try to support the parents or the primary caregivers as much as I can. So they feel supported throughout this time. So I walk them through step by step of our chosen approach. For children, the approach is very much based on their age, their personality. We observe their body language, how they react for certain modalities of how we want to support them. And please don't think here about sleep training. I personally do not kind of like this term because we're not training anybody. We know how to sleep. Newborns do know how to sleep. It's just about supporting them in creating healthy sleep habits. And we are not, it's walking the family step by step through how we can do that. It's about working together on that. Mm-hmm. As far as adults, typically this process will take 6 to 8 weeks. The reason for that is we as adults typically already have some pre-existing either medical conditions or we have some objections or we might have some own opinions about sleep. And sometimes it takes us a little bit of time to kickstart and change certain patterns. So I'm there to support them in changing those patterns. And we break down each step that we want to work on by each week into smaller steps. And we gradually work on improving that sleep quality almost on like a cellular level because we're creating new neural pathways in their brain in order to build new habits or change certain patterns in their behaviors. And it's a lot of work about with different protocols and procedures depending on their circumstances. Are they traveling through different time zones or perhaps they have busy seasons at work, let's say like accountants,
yeah.
Or somebody has to, they work in different time zones because they have a lot of responsibilities and so on and so forth. So yes, we equip them with a lot of different tools and pieces of equipment that we utilize during the same time. We read that physiological data that I've mentioned before, such as sleep patterns, sleep stages, heart rate, oxygenation of their blood, or we're able to even see changes in their breathing patterns. So sometimes thanks to that, we're able to discover whether there is some other potential factor that is influencing their sleep quality, and we can refer them to some further testing. So that work with my clients can be sometimes be on multiple different levels.
And one of the things that you shared that like stuck out the most to me was the comparison between how long or the usual amount of time that you work with like younger clients in comparison to older clients, adults, and thinking about, I guess, for adults, the amount of unlearning or retraining that it takes because of what we've learned or what we, the habits that we picked up to our adult lives versus for babies, you know, they're freshly here. So I guess like, well, this is my thinking that it takes a shorter amount of time to assist them or observe them in these patterns, I suppose.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And also, I think with adults, I don't know how it is with you, but, you know, we have typically very busy lives. So kind of throwing you in the deep water and expecting you to make number of changes in a very short period of time would be probably logistically challenging,
yeah.
But it can be quite discouraging. It's kind of worth to, you know, measure and be also realistic because the goal is to set this person up for success.
Yeah.
And really my goal is for my clients to work with them. Mm-hmm. And as we finish working together, that's it. My goal is for my clients not to have to come back to me.
Yeah.
Whether it's a younger generation or an adult, they always receive a package of information from me as we part our ways for going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So what else can you expect in your sleep and how to address this at this time? So for example, sickness or travel. For children, sleepovers can be challenging, or as they grow, night terrors. For adults, for example, as I mentioned earlier, traveling through time zones or any very specific situations at work, and they need a very specific protocol. So as I work with them, I try to find out as much as I can about their life in order to prepare those documents for them. So then when we part our ways, all they have to do is, oh, I have this on hand. Mm-hmm. And I can just refer to my notes. And we've done that because we've already worked on this throughout this coaching sessions.
One last question that's just come to mind. For people that you have worked with, and I think back to my, you know, my personal story and what I've gone through, even though I guess the results were a bit different. Have you worked with any clients, obviously without names or anything like that? Have you worked with clients who are currently in like stressor situations or traumatic situations where either they are, I know we've talked about physical health, but they are being impacted by a physical health challenge or a loved one. Like, for example, I'm thinking of my personal experience. My mom was sick with cancer, and I remember that I had a rough time sleeping during that period while she was sick. But once the night that she died, or the day after she died, I should say, I had the best sleep of my life because I wasn't so stressed and nervous all the time. So I just wonder about clients that may come to you who are currently going through a health challenge themselves, or a loved one is impacted with their health challenge, and how you could support them during a stressful time in their lives, if you've worked with somebody, people with that, those circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, not that long ago, I worked with this lady in her 70s, mm-hmm. Who's been caring for her mother with dementia. Okay. For many, many years. The older lady herself had a number of medical conditions, and all of those, plus the medication, plus the dementia, was just causing that her sleep was very poor. And she would literally wake up in the middle of the night just seeing things, imagining things, really struggling. So that lady who I worked with, which was her daughter, mm-hmm. she decided at some point to share the same bedroom to support her own mother. Mm-hmm. And obviously her sleep was just going through a huge regression, let's call it this way. So yes, although we started working on her sleep for actually other reasons, mm-hmm. when that became a part of her reality, when she had to change sleep location and her sleep patterns, sleep surface, number of things, it just really, yes, life throws at us curveballs.
Yeah.
And that's where if I work with somebody, I get the chance to be there for that person that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, I feel kind of honored and very grateful because people do let me in into their lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they share things with me, or sometimes they just go through very important things in their lives, just like that particular person that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm kind of witnessing it, but then I get to be there because I do need to support them. I want to support them, but I need to. That's my responsibility, yeah. to do it during that time, because that's what they did hire me for that. So yes, I do feel responsibility and I want to. So we adapt. If we have to, we adapt. And that way I'm able to make that adaptation for them possible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because if you imagine during those times, like for yourself, you're stressed. You yourself, even when you're trying to support a loved one that's struggling with something, you have very limited capacity, mental right. capacity.
Yeah.
So then trying to figure something additional, even for yourself or for your loved one to help to better their quality of life, can be very difficult without support.
Yeah, that's important. Thank you. So for anyone listening, it's not just circumstances like, oh, I'm so tired with this. I'm so tired with it, like with work or, you know, something that you may seem quote unquote normal. But if you are struggling with something traumatic or you're supporting mm-hmm. a loved one through something that's health related or a challenging circumstance, like what we've mentioned, Dorothy can support you in that way as well, could support you in those times, and sleep specialists can be there to support you during difficult challenges like what we've mentioned. So thank mm-hmm. you. You've shared that you work with a range of clients based on age. Do you find that there are differences in your methods based on sex?
Yes and no. As you said, it is very individual and sleep is personalized.
Yeah.
But sometimes, yes, and it you may see things that in a way are common for certain groups. So, for example, within women around the postpartum period, especially early postpartum period, the work or approaches may be more common than in other, certain approaches may be more common than in other age groups, or certain approaches may be more common around women during menopause than other age groups. So yes and no, it depends. I hate this answer, but it's sometimes like with doctors, that's like, it depends.
Yeah.
On this situation, but you could say that there might be some commonalities.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I just imagine that, yes, you say it's individual for each person, but I'm sure that there are times where you do see certain patterns with, you know, mm-hmm. based on certain characteristics. So yeah, that's interesting.
Definitely, yeah.
What advice, Dorothy, what advice would you give? Because you painted a picture, or you shared a bit about those, many adults are on the go, right? They love the hustle and the grind culture and everything. What advice could you give to people who are working a full-time job, who are caring for children or other family members who are caretakers, people with businesses on the side, their side hustle, about the significance of sleep?
I think I would start from changing the mindset about sleep or the importance of sleep and prioritizing sleep. I feel that we prioritize so many other things in our lives, especially work. I know, yes, it's important, but in order to work or to care for our children or for others in our lives or whatever else we want to do, we need to also sleep. There is a reason why we sleep for one third of our life, of our lives. So it's a big chunk. So first of all, prioritize it. Put it in your calendar if you have to, literally. Sometimes that's what I do with some clients. We need to put it in the calendar and set up a reminder in the phone that bedtime is approaching. And it works really well for some individuals. Yeah. So prioritize and change the mindset that it is a very important part of your life. Another thing, I think I would say that I know it may be difficult on some days and nights, but try to create a schedule, like a routine for your sleep, meaning that try to go to sleep around the same time and try to wake up around the same time. Just as you go to work, perhaps around the same time, maybe perhaps you eat your meals around the same time, you do certain activities at certain times of the day, like let's say working out. All those elements are incredibly important from scheduling point of view for when our body and our hormonal balance looks like. We're almost training our body to be active at certain times of the day and to be less active in other parts of the day or night. And that includes sleep.
Yeah.
If it's hard for you to have a regular bedtime because of your circumstances, aim for the same wake up time every day. And that includes weekends and holidays.
Plot twist.
Would you like to know why?
Tell me, please.
The reason for that is that each time, I'm going to use the example of weekends and sleeping longer, right? Trying to catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
That's a very popular misconception. Each hour of extra sleep in the morning. So if you, let's say, wake up 6 a.m. every single day between Monday and Friday, and then you add that extra hour or two or even three on a Saturday, you've just given yourself jet lag. Yeah. And then you do this maybe on Sunday, and then on Monday, you're back to waking up at 6 instead of at 8. Yeah. So you've just traveled back again 2 hours. So it's a further jet lag, but the other way around.
Yeah, imagine having jet lag every single week.
Oh, there is so many people that live that way. And that wreaks a havoc on our bodies on so many levels. So have a regular schedule. Try to find some balance and where that wake up would be, even if you're thinking about little extra sleeping in on weekends, just don't, at least don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's big, because I think of, you know, without naming names, I think of the amount of people that I know, for the majority of adults have like a 9-to-5 or a day job. And then the weekend, the amount of people that I know who I'll try to reach, because I get up fairly early on Saturdays and Sundays, but the amount of people that I know who love to sleep in to about 10, and I'll try and call them like, I'm asleep, like I'm in bed, like leave me alone. And when you put it this way, it seems so stressful on the body.
It is. It is very much. If we were to spend here another hour or more, and I would just literally draw exactly like, you know, give you like a graph of all of those things, what happens by making just that change in the one morning a week, it can be devastating, really. Yeah. But hey, we're slowly changing.
Yeah.
We're getting to know more and more about those impacts and those correlations. And we ask more and more questions, and we want to make changes. More and more people do want to make those changes and live a better life through sleep as well. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there through more information, as you say, and for people like yourself who work in this field and share information like this and the importance of sleep, because there's so much that I think we take for granted.
Yes. And, you know, if I may share, through 41st Twink, the past 2 years, I've been trying to get my services and similar services covered by health insurance in Bermuda.
Yeah, I'm wondering that.
So believe it or not, but the way I work, or people like myself that in the sleep field work, which is on a preventative level, using holistic approaches. And by holistic, we mean without medications, it's about, or supplements, it's about changing behaviors. Mm-hmm. This is not covered by health insurance anywhere. But if you go and you, let's say, are already diagnosed with a sleep disorder and you are prescribed a medication, then that's covered by health insurance.
Yeah.
But prevention and working towards holistic approaches is not, which is very interesting. However, I've got good news, because I've been working with one local insurer. It seems like we're now seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. So we may be able to share some fantastic news soon.
Wow, I hope so.
But it appears that there might be something great happening in Bermuda in that area. And yeah, we may be able to make some, I may be able to change more lives through sleep.
Yeah. I hope so. I think, as you say, more people are becoming aware of this knowledge. More people are understanding the positive impact that proper sleep does have on all of us, and the need for sleep specialists like yourself. So I really hope that Bermuda can make improvements in this area and we can have your services covered by insurance. And this would be a huge step for us. So I hope that comes into fruition and that we can share that positive news and we can invite you back.
That would be awesome.
How can our listeners get in contact with you, Dorothy?
Okay, of course. Yes. You guys can give me a call, 331-2906. You can shoot me an email at the41stwink, which is THE41STWINK @gmail.com, or just seek us on social media at the41stwinksleep, or just hop on our website, the41stwink.com. I also have some complimentary resources available on the website. When you go in there, under a tab called Sleep Library, we share there a number of different resources in the form of downloadable ebooks about sleep and different conditions or areas of our life. So such as, for example, pregnancy or restless leg syndrome during pregnancy, or sleep and cancer, or diabetes, or cardiovascular disease. There is a number of topics, and we work updating it. So there will be more, but there is quite a few of them already there. And the second type of resource that we have available for our community is under a tab called self-assessment. I've included there two scientific questionnaires. One is used to measure daytime alertness. Mm-hmm. And the second one is sleepiness and quality of sleep.
Wow.
Both are free. You can just go in there. There is also no commitment. All you have to do is just provide your email address so we can send you the results and see the results on our end. So that way, if there, we see something, we can at least give you a shout and contact and say, listen, Alexis, on each of these questionnaires, we're seeing this and that. Perhaps you would want to either speak to us or refer to your GP, because some that you've said in here, stated in your questionnaires, may indicate that it's worth investigating. So it's kind of something to get a little bit more understanding of what might be happening there. Or you just want to check in and see how is your sleep and how is your daytime alertness.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Dorothy. So those free resources, and those seem like a lot of free resources there. So I'm definitely going to hop on your website as soon as we finish our interview here. So listeners, go to, remind me of your website again, it's the41stwink.com.
Yes, yes, the41stwink.com, exactly.
Okay, awesome. And I will share that information in the show notes of this episode, just so people can grab that. And thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Dorothy. This conversation has been such a pleasure. And the goal of this is to share information, well, number one, with myself, because I didn't know a lot of this, with the masses. So I'm hoping that everyone listening has enjoyed this conversation and can recognize the importance of sleep and want to make changes if they need to assist themselves and in turn assist their families as well. And they know where to get in contact with you, Dorothy, and the 41st Wink, should they need that. So thank you so much for what you do for Bermuda and the community. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored and grateful that you taking the time to, you know, invite me and let me speak and ramble in here. And I'm a fan. I really am impressed by what you do through Big Girl Panties. So kudos to you. And I'm very, very happy that I was able to be here and contribute at least a little bit to what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Yeah, and right back at you. What you do sounds like it's so important. And I really hope that people listening here will be in contact if this resonated with them and they understand and they recognize that they need help with their sleep and that they're able to get the help that they need based off of what you shared today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, Dorothy, what does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? What does that look like in your life?
You know that I've been thinking about this question because I listened to your podcast before and I heard that this is the question you always ask all your guests. And I want to say that over the years, probably the answer to these questions, to that question, would have been changing. But I think most recently this year, it means just being comfortable with myself, being happy about my strengths and accepting all the weaknesses and being unapologetic about what I do and what I think. But in a way that, you know, I'm coming from a very positive perspective.